Oh, thank you for that song. Thank you again, Pastor, for allowing me to have this time. I appreciate that. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, we want to read about one of the miracles that Jesus performed. There's seven of them mentioned in the book of John, and this is the middle one. We'd like to read about that and see what the Lord has for us to say. Since my throat has not gotten all better yet from the flu, I've asked Brother Tesson here to come and read this portion, John chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. He could not come and help me read this.
After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And when he said, and this he said to prove him, for he knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments and the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten.
Thank you. Jesus performed miracles for various reasons. This one, I think he did it for quite a few reasons. One, he is a God of compassion. The people were hungry. They've been a long time without eating, as it says in the other passages of this miracle. And so he wanted to help them on that side. He also wanted to teach his disciples a lesson, some lessons, as just like Pastor mentioned this morning. Jesus had some lessons that he wanted the disciples to learn. He also wanted to manifest God's glory. He wanted to show that he was God, and he only could do something like this. I think there's another reason that this one was written. Again, like I said, to teach his disciples, but we'll see the reason as we go through the message tonight. And I've entitled this message, this part, this miracle, I've entitled it the Missions Miracle. Missions Miracle. We're going to see how this can be used to give a missionary challenge, Lord willing, when we're finished here. Let's pray first. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us your word. It's what you want us to know about yourself, about us, about the world, about sin and Satan, and many other things, and things that you want to teach us. And in this, we see who you are and what you've done, and we see your power and your glory. We also see the commands that you've given to us that you want us to do, and how you want us to be obedient to your will in our daily lives. And thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth, You've given us pastors and others to teach us. Help us now, Lord, as we look through this miracle that you performed. Give me your power, Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit, your strength. Help my voice, help me on the physical side as well. Pray you'll give me clarity of thought and knowing what to say and what not to say, and help each one who listens to get the message that you have for us. Help me to show forth Christ and his will for our lives. We thank you for opportunity to speak here. Thank you for those who've come. And just pray that you'll bless in this. Thank you for what you're going to do, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, as we look at this, we see some of the disciples. You know, they've been around Jesus for a while, and they've seen him do miracles. But we see where their thinking is. Jesus, as it says in here, Jesus asked Philip this question to prove him, to show where he really was and this when dealing with a major need like this. Now there's a lot of people there. Why was a lot of people? Well, if you notice, it says it's time of Passover. A lot of people come to Jerusalem during that time of Passover, so the big multitude there to observe the Passover, and they knew that Jesus was there, so they came to hear him as well. So Jesus asked Philip, okay, these people are hungry and they need some food. Where are we going to get food for them? Now, Philip, he's thinking on the side of, just the common man's thoughts, human thoughts. He's thinking, well, if a person worked 200 days, now a penny was a day's wages back in time for a certain group of people. He said if we worked 200 days, we still wouldn't have enough money to buy them a food, to give them just a little bit. And then Andrew, he was listening in on this conversation, and Andrew says, well, there's a boy here. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, 5 loaves isn't a loaf of what we think of today. And 5 loaves and 2 fishes, we don't know exactly what it was, but obviously it was enough for a hungry boy for a lunchtime. Yeah. So it wasn't very much. And Andrew says, we got this, but what's that among so many? Now, they had seen Jesus do miracles, but they're still thinking on the human side of things. Now, I always thought, how did Andrew know that that boy had food? Now, he might have been hungry too, yeah. Now, you know how children are, especially boys, they like to be around the center of things. The Bible doesn't say this, but I think this boy might have overheard Jesus and the disciples talking. And he thought, they've got a need. I mean, I've got food at the house. I'll give this food to Jesus for him to use in his work. And so he gave it. He was willing to give it. Now, Jesus, what did Jesus do? Did he say, well, thank you, I appreciate you doing that, but you know, that's not very much for all these people here. No, he didn't say that. Jesus took the food. Now you say, Jesus took a boy's food? We'll see on that. Now, what did Jesus do with the food? He gave thanks to God. Thanks God for providing this food, which Jesus was going to use to do a miracle. Jesus took this little food, but he multiplied it. Now, after Jesus took the food and gave thanks, what did he do? Now, you know, Jesus could have just said, let there be food in everybody's hand, and there would have been food. He had that power to do that. He could have done that. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus was going to give food to the people. He was going to perform a miracle, but he was going to use the disciples to do it. Now, I don't know if I want to use the word pretend, but let's think what if this happened? What if Philip got the food and said, okay, I need to give this out to people. Here's some for you, fish and bread and you. And oh, look at that crowd. That goes way down the mountain. 5,000, well, maybe 10,000, because Matthew says there was women and children there as well. Maybe there was 10,000. Man, that's a long ways down there and a long way back. Anyhow, okay, let me get food over here. Oh, sorry, Andrew, I didn't see you over there. You're probably about, Peter giving food to that section. I'll go over this way. Give some food to you. I already gave you some, didn't I? Some to you, and some to you. Bartholomew, you're over here giving out food. And that's James down there, huh? It's getting crowded around here, but that's okay. I'll give out food. Did you hear that? You hear that noise down there? What did you say? You're hungry and you're faint? I'll ask Jesus to send somebody down there and give you some food. I'm busy up here. I can't go down there myself. So I'll give you some more. You know, have some more here. You know, just have some more. Just, you're hungry. You've been a long ways. It's a long day today. Oh, what's that crying I hear down there? You say somebody died because he didn't get food? Oh, my. Let's see if Jesus can do something about that. We need to get food to all these people. But there's a lot of people here that I need to get food to. They need the food just as much. Oh, you know something? Andrew, see how far down that is? Look at the grass over here. You know, on the mountainside, you know how mountains are? Sometimes there's holes underneath the grass. If I went down there, I might fall in the hole and sprain my ankle or even break my leg. That's too dangerous. I don't know if I'm going to do that or not. Oh, yeah, and I thought of another thing, too. You know what likes to hide in the grass? Snakes. And if it's a poisonous snake, I might even die. That's too dangerous. I'll let somebody else do that job. Here, have some more. I'm, you need more. You got a long ways to go home yet, too. Have some more. Nobody's going. Oh, is that John I see way down there? He's trying to get down to those people and reach those people with. I'm glad somebody's doing that. We've got a lot of work up here, me and Peter and Andrew and all this things like that. Is that what happened? That reminds me a lot about how churches are thinking about missions. What did happen? When I teach over there, I like to ask questions. I like to get people to think. They're not used to thinking. They're used to following whatever somebody else says. So I like to make them think. Find the answer for themselves. If I give them the answers, they're not going to know how to find the answers. They need to know how to study. So I want them to start thinking. So I'm going to ask lots of questions tonight. As we look at this miracle, how many disciples are there? 12 disciples. How many disciples did Jesus command to give food out? 12, all of them, 12. Okay, how many disciples gave out the food? All 12. Was any of them left out? Any of the disciples? No, they all were involved. Now, how many people were there? 5,000 at least. Could have been 10 or whatever. How many of the 5,000 got food? All of them got the bread and the fish. How did they get the food? The disciples gave them the food. Did they just get enough to satisfy a little bit of their hunger pains? Or? No. They got enough and then some. Did the very last person in the very last row of people get some food? How did he get it? Some disciple went down there and gave it to him, didn't they? That's a long ways down. You know they got to walk all the way back up the hill, too, the disciples. Some of those places are hard to get to if you're used to mountain climbing It might have had grass there, but this ground isn't very level and stuff like that. So it's a bit difficult. Now, that boy that gave his lunch, did he go hungry? No. I think he got some food too, didn't he? Now the disciples, Bible doesn't tell us that, but when they were, and it was going to take a while to get food to 5,000 people, do you think they might have grabbed a bite on the way they were doing some of this? Good possibility they ate while they were doing their job. Now, was there food left over? How many baskets full of food did they get? 12 baskets full of food. Why the number 12 baskets? Why 12 baskets? The disciples. Now, what were they going to do with a basket of food? They ate some as they were going. You know, I think the Lord was going to take care of tomorrow and the next day, too. Take care of their needs for other days as they were doing the job. Now, what does this have to do about missions? Probably some of you can already see where I'm going. The multitude, who do you think they represent? The world. What does the bread represent? Jesus Christ, God's word. Who do you think the disciples represent? Christians, the church, churches. Who do you think the boy represents? Might take a little thinking on this one. Yeah? Right, okay. So, willing to give what he had to missions. Let's see, did I cover everybody? Anything? I'll get to that, okay. Now, how many people need to hear the gospel? Everyone in the multitude, the whole world. How are they going to hear the gospel? God could have sent an angel and preached it in every language of the people, but how did God decide to get his word out to everybody? He's going to use his people to get his job done. He was going to perform the miracle of saving souls, but he's going to use his people to get the job done. That's the way that he planned it to be. Okay, how long has it been since Christ died and gave this command? Yeah, roughly 2,000 years. Has everybody in the world gotten the word? Why? Whose job was it? Couldn't the world have been reached in 2,000 years? I wonder why it hasn't been reached in 2,000 years. Do you think somebody's not doing their job? Do you think God's talking to somebody and they're not doing their job? There are roughly 7,000 languages in the world. Over 1,600 of those languages do not have one word of scripture in their language. Why hasn't the world been reached yet? What do you think the baskets of food represent? Might take some thinking on this. Nobody has a guess on this one. I thought it'd be obvious. Anyhow. Okay. Why did the disciples, We talked about why there was 12 baskets left over for the disciples. Why was that? 12 disciples. And what was that food going to be used for? That basket full of food? That's going to be, it's going to meet their needs while they were not directly involved in giving out food. Person on the mission field, now he preaches, but he's got everyday life to live as well. It takes time just to live out on the field. He's not going to be preaching all the time. And God, when God gives a job, he's going to provide for what's needed for that job. And so that would represent God's taking care of the needs of the missionary on the field the whole time. Now, I'll repeat the question. Who did God give the command to? How many? 12? Well, no, sorry. I see what you're thinking. I'll rephrase that. Who did God give the command to take the word, the message to the world? All disciples, the church. How many? All. Are you involved in this? Judy and I have been to a fair amount of missions conferences. We've met most of them. Ones we met in the mission conferences were raising support to go to the field. And on all the missions conferences that we met with new missionaries, we did not meet one missionary going to an isolated tribal area. They were all going to cities or towns or something like that. So we thought about that. Where are those who are going to go? God says to go to the uttermost parts of the world. Where are those that are going to the uttermost parts of the world? Now, we know there's some, the North Cuts and others like that are going to very difficult places. Last year, if you remember, I think it was your grandmother was here. Yes. We talked to her afterwards. How old is she, 80? In her 80s, and she's going back, right? She's going back, and you know what she's mentioned to us? Same thing. She doesn't see very many young people volunteering to go out to the mission field, especially places where it's hard to get to. And we thought about that, Judy and I, and we prayed about that. Where are the young people? Where are those going to the tribal areas? And Lord started burdening our heart for that again. There are a lot of areas. There are not very many Baptist missionaries in the tribal areas of Papua New Guinea who's working in the language of the people. Why not? Wycliffe Bible translators, they're in a lot of places in Papua New Guinea and other places. Where are the Baptists at? We thought about that. Now, even though our name's Young, we're not young. We're in our 70s. But God has given us strength yet. We're weaker than we were. We can't climb up and down mountains. But we can train others to do that. Remember that one I mentioned the summon when I gave the missions message in Papua in Awena? Some volunteered, especially Dallas and his wife and others as well, and wanted to go out and give the message. Well, we figured that if we can't do it, they can. And we can train them. You know something? The Lord's leading us back to Papua New Guinea. I already talked to Pastor about this. It's not a surprise to him, but I guess it gets in your blood or something. I don't know, but We believe that the Lord would have us to go back. It's not just nobody else is going, we want to do it. We've got verses where God has taught us that and showed us that. And so we're working on that. And I thank Pastor for him being in agreement with us going, even at our age. We have someone already trying to get a visa for us. We'll need more support. We have to rebuild the house there because the house that we were in was a part of the reason of leaving because of a lot of mold there and affecting our health. And so we want to, we'd ask you to continue to pray for us. But we're just one couple. Would you like to go along with us to, maybe not to Owena, but to a tribal area to reach them with the gospel? Some of you are a lot younger than we are. Like Mike, you can use your strength to do God's work now. Would you give your life to reach the world, the whole world, the hard-to-get-to places with the gospel, the dangerous places? When we didn't first moved in there, we didn't have an airstrip, we didn't have electricity, no McDonald's, no Walmart. We're still alive. God undertook for us. God can help you too. Would you be willing to give yourself to go and give out the message? I wish the other college students were here too, but they aren't here. The job's not done. We just can't sit back and say, well, the Lord's coming, so we just wait for him to come. Papua New Guinea is highly missionized, but not evangelized. There's missionaries all over the place, but probably, I don't know how much percentage of them do not give the gospel. They give salvation by works. Where are the Baptists? I don't want to use the word pride ourselves, but